Bible, but especially the Old Testament, names are significant. Names matter, names mean something. Oftentimes, again, especially in the Old Testament, we see that an individual is given a name, and the meaning of that name is significant because that it's sort of prophetic of what happens in their life and what takes place in their life. And the last several weeks, we've been walking through these names or these titles, these descriptions of this baby, of this God who came and took on flesh. And the name that we want to focus on today is the name of Jesus. The transliteration of it is Yeshua in the Hebrew, and meaning Yahweh saves. Names are important to God. Names are important throughout all the Scripture. Names are important to Jews. As a matter of fact, the Jews took the name of God so seriously, we're really not sure. A lot of explanation to get into this, get the full idea, but we're not really sure throughout the book where we see God translated, the name there, Yahweh or Jehovah. And part of that is because the Jews took so seriously, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. They wouldn't pronounce, they would be very careful and cautious when they invoke, when they use the name of God. Names mean something to God. And so this morning we are going to read a text, the same text that we read last week. And then if you were at our Christmas Eve service two nights ago, Joseph read this text for us. And then again, I realize you saw the video on Christmas Eve if you were able to be here. But it's with such power highlighting the name of Jesus. And so if you have your Bible, would you turn to the book of Matthew, beginning in verse 1. And I want to preach to you this message, Jesus is His name. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 18. So if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After His mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful, matchless name. And God, I pray that you would help us to magnify that as we look at the scripture together. And we think about all that this name is and represents and who you are. And God, I pray that we would leave this place, God, in all of what you've done, and that every person in this room, this side of heaven, will bow their knee to the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Again, we want to focus our time primarily on Jesus, and then also this interpretation, if you will, this prophetic giving of what it means and what's the significance of Him being named Jesus. If you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of the message is this, is that the name of Jesus sets Him apart. The name of Jesus absolutely sets Him apart. Now, all the other names are important. Don't misunderstand me this morning. Obviously, Messiah, He's the promised one. He's the one set aside and has been promised to come. And then the names that we looked at from Isaiah, that He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Those are all significant and important. And last week we looked at Emmanuel, God is with us, and how that is personal and so on and so forth. But then there's something that seems to separate this, to kind of stand out among the crowd, if you will, and that is the name of Jesus. And so I want to ask you this morning, this is the significant question, is what comes to mind when you hear the name of Jesus? Some may think he was a good person, lived a long time ago. Some may think about Him as a friend. Some may think about Him as God. You may think of Him as Savior. You may all these sorts of things. What sort of ideas, what sort of things are triggered when you hear the name of Jesus? And this morning, what I want to do, there's no way to exhaust all the significance of the name of Jesus. But this morning, there are three main truths I want us to look at as it relates to the name of Jesus. And I have tried to channel my inner Pastor Jonathan and alliterate this morning, so make sure you tell him when you see him, okay? He'll appreciate that, all right? So number one, the name of Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus is powerful. Listen to verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. There is power that is in His name. We're going to talk about the significance of saving His people from their sins. But listen, that doesn't happen without power, without the power of God. That this name carries power, it carries authority. Yes, He is all those things that we describe. But I need you to know this morning and be reminded of that Jesus, the name of Jesus, is powerful. Listen to a few of these verses I want to highlight for us this morning. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 9. It's an incredible section of Scripture, 5 through 11, but I just want to read verses 9, 10, 11. For this reason, God highly exalted Him. And look at this, gave Him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, out of every person that's ever been born, every individual that's ever been given a name, the Bible says there is one name that stands above all those, one name that is supreme to all of those, and that is the name of Jesus, the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. But I want you to catch the power and authority that is here. This section of Scripture says that every knee... By the way, did you catch this? Look at verse 10. So that in the name of Jesus, look at this, every knee will bow. Now, it doesn't just mention those that are here and alive today. It doesn't just mention us. It doesn't just mention one people group, one nation, one country. But it says every knee. And then it describes in heaven and on earth, and look at this, under the earth. Every person who has ever lived, every person who has been given a name, there is one name that stands above all of those, and at that name, every knee will bow. Who's ever been born, who's ever lived. Notice this, it continues on, verse 11. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now folks, listen, that's power. I mean, you think about the things that take place when a president of the United States or some king of a country or some queen, and the royal garb goes before them and they announce an individual coming in, and there's significance that takes place, and there's recognition of that, and there's respect that is shown. But you and I both know at times at rallies and at different things where someone walks in, there's somebody that disagrees with them. There's somebody standing up going, man, I'm not showing respect or honor to them. But you think about this, at the name of Jesus, every human being who has ever existed will not have a, it will not be by choice or change, they will recognize that He is God, and at His name, every knee will bow. And look at this, every tongue, verse 11, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's power. And it blows my mind every time I read this, because it says, those on earth, those in heaven, and those under the earth. You know what that means? Obviously, those on earth, that's pretty easy. Those in heaven, we got that. Those under the earth, I believe it's talking about hell. Unfortunately, it will be too late for those individuals at that point. However, you need to realize there is power in the name of Jesus. Another verse that came to mind, Luke chapter 10. Jesus had trained the disciples. They had been with Him. They had seen Him cast out demons, seen Him heal the paralyzed, all these sorts of things. Jesus is off spending time with God the Father, and He comes down. He had sent these individuals out, these disciples out and others, and sent them out to do His work. And listen to what happens whenever they come back and they give this report, Luke 10, 17, the 72 returned with joy, saying, look at this, Lord, even the demons submit to us in Your name. So not only will every individual who is born, every individual who's ever lived will bow the name, but every angel, every supernatural force, every demon of hell know the power of Jesus' name. We're given power to understanding to understand the power of Jesus' name in John 14 when Jesus says, whatever you ask, listen to this, in My name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That you and I, as children of God, when we cry out and call on the name of Jesus, there's a promise that God answers and God works. Now, He doesn't always answer the way we want Him to. He doesn't work always the way that we want Him to work. But He moves, He answers, He works. There is power in the name of Jesus. And by the way, let me just give you a real practical application here. When you pray, I remember sitting at First Baptist Branch in the sanctuary there when Brother Tim preached something similar and just reminded me about the power and authority of Jesus. When you pray, let's pray in Jesus' name. There is power in that name. When I was preparing for this, and this is probably going to get me in trouble, but I'm pretty good at doing that, so here we go. I don't know how many of you, one of my favorite childhood movies is The Lion King. When I'm preparing for this, there's a particular scene that comes to mind. You may remember the hyenas are down in their little cave area, and they're frustrated because Mufasa is high on the food chain. He's running everything, right? He is the king. And then you've got Scar, his brother, that he's wanting to overthrow and he's wanting to be in charge, but the hyenas, they're working for Scar. They're not working for Mufasa, and they're only limited to certain places at certain times, but they're down there, and they're just griping and complaining. The hyenas are having the conversation among themselves and fussing. Well, next thing you know, they're talking about and fussing about lions and all this sort of thing, and Scar comes in from the smoke. You may remember this. He comes in, and he said, well, lions aren't so bad, and then they're caught off guard, and they're like, oh, it's just Scar. Like, he's kind of a second-rate lion sort of deal, right? And so they're talking about it, and Mufasa comes up. And I don't know if you remember this, but you've got Ed, who's the goofy one. He's just laughing, and he bites himself and all that sort of thing. And then you've got the character that played by Whoopi Goldberg, the hyena, and I'm not sure who the other one was. But anyway, nonetheless, they're there, and one of the hyenas mentions to the Whoopi character, mentions Mufasa. And she said, and this is what Whoopi says, she goes, that name carries power with it, doesn't it? When you say it, I just shake. And so the other hyena says it again. She goes, woo! She goes, do it again, and says it again, and then it roll all this sort of thing, right? And listen, I realize this is not all that spiritual of an example, but I think about when the disciples went out and they were at work in a much significant, much more spiritual way, the demons of hell knew when the name of Jesus was invoked. Because there was power there. Recognize the power and authority of the name of Jesus. And so, number one, the name of Jesus is powerful. Number two, the name of Jesus is prominent. The name of Jesus is prominent. Let's look at verse 21 again. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So there is power that comes with the name of Jesus. There is authority that comes with the name of Jesus. You and I call on God. We pray in Jesus' name, and heaven and earth go to work, if you will. Listen, whenever the demons of hell hear the name of Jesus, they recognize that there's power and authority, but there is prominence with his name as well. Listen to Philippians 2, 9 through 11. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. There's the power. They will bow their knee. They will subject themselves knowing the power of God. But then, we've already touched on this, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is power because people will bow their knee. Demons are subject to the power and authority of God. We pray and heaven and earth move. There's prominence to the name of Jesus. Sure. Unfortunately, to our own dismay, there certainly are places in the world that you can go that people don't know who Jesus is. But friend, you think about for over 2,000 years now, the story of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus has been told countless times to countless individuals. And when you and I step foot in eternity, we will meet brothers and sisters in Christ from every inch of the globe. And the Bible teaches us in Revelation, every tongue, every tribe, every nation will be there because of the name of Jesus and who he is. The name of Jesus not only has power, it has prominence. Ephesians 2, 20 and 21, listen, it says, he exercised this power in Christ, on Jesus, by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens. Look at this. Far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. When God gave the name Jesus to Jesus, he set him far above every living thing that would ever exist, not only now, but for all eternity. It says he sets him above every, seat him at his right hand, every ruler, every authority, every power, every dominion, above all. He sits at the top, and he sits alone at the top. Jesus has power, and the name of Jesus has prominence. And then number three, the name of Jesus has purpose. The name of Jesus has purpose. Again, verse 21, she will give birth to a son. You are to name him Jesus. Look at this. Because he will save his people from their sins. This is part of what sets Jesus apart. That we believe and we know this is true. That we are gathered here today to worship a God, the one true God, who saw that you and I were lost and destitute and hopeless. You and I having sin separating us from God. You and I without Him have no hope. Our only thing to look forward to is hell separated from God for all eternity. But God looked down on humanity in our fallen, sin-sick world and sent His very best in His Son Jesus to come to this earth, names Him Jesus. Why? Because He will save His people from His sins. Why is that significant? Because remember, Yeshua, Yahweh, saves. Emmanuel, God with us. God took this on personally, saw your need and my need, sent His Son Jesus because Jesus has a singular purpose, and that is to save His people from their sins. Jesus came to save me and save you from ourselves. Because the best that you and I can do is what the Bible says is filthy rags in the eyes of God. It's disgusting and it's repulsive. The very best that you and I can conjure up apart from Him is repulsive in the eyes of God. But God loved you and God loved me so much that He sent His only Son to live a sinless, perfect life that you and I could not, to die on a cross, a death that you and I deserve, and to conquer death, hell, and the grave, to offer salvation to all who will believe. There is purpose in the name of Jesus, that He will save His people from their sins. Acts 4:12 tells us this, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus and Jesus alone. Acts 13:38 and 39 says, therefore, let it be known to you, brothers and sisters, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you. He's talking about Jesus. Everyone who believes is justified through Him from everything that you cannot be justified from through the law of Moses. He's telling the religious of the day, going, look, you can't be good enough. You can't keep enough laws. You can't follow enough Ten Commandments to earn this salvation. And He says, I'm proclaiming to you. What He's saying is, what is being proclaimed to you is salvation is only found in this God-man, Jesus. 1 John 2:2 says, He Himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. The name of Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus is prominent. And it is powerful and is prominent. Why? Because it has purpose. It has purpose. You and I are gathered here today on December 26, 2021, Most likely because of this name. Because for many of you, somewhere along the way, you had an encounter with a holy God. And this purpose was fulfilled in your life. He saved you from your sins. There may be some of you here this morning saying, Pastor Chris, I've never come to that place. I've been trying to be good enough. I've been trying to earn enough righteousness, whatever it is. And I'm here to tell you, friend, that if you'll surrender your heart and life to Jesus, God will save you. Hey, let me help you. This isn't a reason to be saved today, but I'm just going to be transparent with you. We can choose to bow our knee and confess Him as Lord this side of heaven or that side of eternity. The reality is every person in this room will bow to the name of Jesus and will confess Him as Lord. The difference between heaven and hell will be whether you do it before you take your last breath or you do it in eternity while you're separated from Almighty God. And I realize that's not pleasant to think about, and I realize that makes us uncomfortable, but dear friend, God didn't send me this morning to give you a message so that you'll go home and be comfortable. He sent me to give you a message that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is prominent. And Jesus came with a singular purpose, and that's to save you from your sins. And so I'm more worried, rather than making you comfortable, I'm more worried about your eternity. And you will choose today what you choose, whatever it is you choose to do with the name of Jesus. But friend, if you've not bowed your knee and you've not confessed Him as Lord, I'm begging you, do it today. It'll be the single greatest decision you've ever made. And if I can talk to you, those of you, men that know Christ, maybe you've been struggling, maybe things are going great, I have no idea. But friend, I want to challenge you, when you pray, pray in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid of the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus. Maybe the new year, maybe the rest of this year and the new year, should the Lord tarry, will be focused on Jesus. You may need to fall back in love with Him and pursue Him. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, thank You that Your name is powerful, that You are prominent. And thank You that You came with a singular purpose to save us from our sins. And I pray right now, God in heaven, that anybody here, in person or online, that's not sure of their salvation, God, I pray that they would call out on You, that this morning they would bow their knee and they would confess that You are Lord. And if that's you this morning, just pray right where you're at. Pray and ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins and be the boss of your life. The Bible says God will hear that prayer and He will answer that prayer. Pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. You may an attitude of prayer, and here's what I want to challenge you. If you prayed that just a moment ago, here in a minute I'll pray again after I'm done praying. You're going to remain seated, and we're going to sing. But whenever we begin to sing, I want to challenge you. I'm going to stand down front. You come. Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that this morning. I asked God to save me. I asked Jesus to save me, and I'm not ashamed. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. I want to try to be a blessing to you. And for those of you that are believers, maybe God stirred your heart this morning. maybe to draw closer to Him, maybe to be more committed in prayer, maybe more committed to your church. Whatever the case is, you respond in obedience to Him. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You, and thank You for this time, and thank You for an opportunity to respond to how You spoke to us today. God, I pray in these next few moments we would focus our heart's attention on You, and that, God, You would be glorified as we make much of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name I pray. As we begin to sing, You move. You want to come and pray? You can come. Need somebody to pray with You? I'd love to pray with you.